Hey guys, this is Laura Vandervoort. I played Kara Kent / Supergirl on Smallville, and you are listening to Always Hold On to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. But not this time, because, my friends, we've come to the end of the road for Supergirl. We are talking about the Supergirl series finale in another Superman special, number 18, by my calculation. And I watched the first two seasons of Supergirl, and then the crossover episodes, and then the Lex Luthor episodes up till season 6, which was the final season. So I am not at all qualified to discuss this series finale. But you know who is? Trisha Innes. Welcome back to the show, Trisha.
Hello. Thank you for having me to talk about Supergirl. I love this show.
So I liked it when it started. Years ago on this podcast, we kind of talked about the first season and like the Superman appearances. And then I honestly kind of fell off watching the show for various reasons. I say this all the time. Like if there was like one or two shows, if there's like Arrow and The Flash and maybe one more, maybe Supergirl as well, I'd be like, okay, I can keep up. But when it was like Legends and it's just a show, Black Lightning, all these shows all at once, I cannot keep up anymore. Plus the quality was kind of getting all over the place. Mm-hmm. And so I fell off of my watching of most of these shows, Supergirl included. And we were talking about doing this recap. I was like, yeah, so I haven't seen this and this or that. And you were like, whoa, you're going to be confused.
Yes. Yeah, I believe that was actually the first thing that I said, where you said you hadn't really watched the show very much. And I said, okay, you're going to be very confused, but we'll do this. I would like to point out very, very briefly that my first appearance on this podcast here was to talk about the 1984 Supergirl movie. So I feel like this is a nice little full circle moment for us, especially given the very, very bad reference to the movie in the series finale of the show.
That was Smallville level dialogue.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Which that reference could also have been for Smallville. Like, that's our mind went there first because, okay, we're going to get into it here. But
yes,
off the top, yes, we're closing the circle. Helen Slater Supergirl movie you came on for to start with. This is not your last episode on the podcast. But,
No.
But
this is not my last episode on the podcast.
We're closing the book on Supergirl with you here. And Helen Slater, of course, plays Kara's mom on mm-hmm. Supergirl, her Earth mother. Eliza Danvers. And when's the last time she'd been on the show, by the way, Trisha?
Oh, goodness. Put me on the spot with that one. I would say it was last season in the episode after they find out that Dean Cain was killed off screen helping refugees, just to give him a little stab there. She's in the funeral episode, I think.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So she had at least been around intermittently. Okay, it wasn't like, oh wow, we pulled her back from the years ago. Okay, so Helen Slater is back on the show. Shows up on the street with a shotgun out of nowhere. Very, very bizarre. But then she's at the wedding. You know, we'll talk about that. But like, so that's good. But yeah, she has a line where she shows up out of nowhere, and Supergirl's like, "Mom."
Alex's.
Is it Alex? Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. Alex is very surprised to see her mom all of a sudden out of nowhere in the middle of the final battle, and is like, oh my God. And then she's like, you could almost think I've been a Kryptonian in a different life. And Alex says, only in the movies.
Only in the movies. That's right. So you have the 1-2 punch of,
yep,
I went to Smallville first because like TV show playing the mom, then the movie line cements it. And it's like, okay.
You also recently did an episode on Laura, right?
Yeah, that's how topical. Yeah. Look at me planning all this out. Not at all. But
Serendipity.
As we're talking about Helen Slater off the top, I will say, and you'll hear this in my discussions on Lara and Blue, which is coming soon as of the release of this episode, at the time, I was like, oh, cool, Helen Slater's is Lara. And then over the years, I think I don't regard season 7 that well. So I was like, I don't know. Was that good casting? Was it not? Rewatching it, I think she did a good job as Lara. Mm-hmm. She was like this kind of ethereal alien. She brought something different to it, you know? Although watching Supergirl, though, I felt like Eliza Danvers was probably more in Helen Slater's wheelhouse as an actress. So that's kind of where I land on. I think she's good in all this stuff, but that's where I land on it now.
Yeah, I agree with you, definitely. She also gets more chances to be Eliza Danvers than she does to get to be Lara. You know, she only has the few appearances. But yeah, I think Eliza was a great choice. I think it's great that they thought to go there and then were able to get the previous Supergirl to be the mom of Supergirl. They frequently do that with Lois, which is also very funny and common. But it was kind of cool to see that for.
I cannot wait to see Laura Vandervoort be somebody's mom. And
she does appear in Supergirl.
Yeah, she does appear in Supergirl. That's right. She's great, by the way.
In Supergirl.
That's a different
that character
vibe.
Was a little over the top.
That was, yeah, like sexy computer trying to seduce the
yeah.
So strange. But I think she's great on Smallville as Supergirl.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
And you know, and you were very knowledgeable about the comic books and revisiting Smallville season 7 and thinking about Supergirl the show and then knowing. I mean, there's a lot of Supergirls in the comics, right? But knowing kind of usually what the vibe is, I mean, is it a hot take to say perhaps Smallville's interpretation of Supergirl was more accurate? But there are so many versions of Supergirl in the comics. I don't know if that's fair to say in comparison to the show we're talking about here.
Yeah, yeah. I think Smallville's version of Supergirl is more accurate to the comics if you're specifically trying to make it accurate to the comics. And I think it works for a character on Smallville where she wasn't around that much. Like, she's around for season 7 and then she appears again occasionally, but that one, you know, did similar things to what it is in the comics and made it a little more that, whereas Supergirl the TV show, because it focused so much more on her, changed a lot of the things, made her a little bit more Superman with a skirt, which I think was okay ultimately. But yeah, I would say, like, if you're going for a specific comics accuracy, Smallville got closer, but I don't think Supergirl the TV show was trying to. Because Supergirl hasn't had that many comics.
I thought season 1 was the best season. I mean, I don't know. Is that a hot take? I mean, you watched the whole show.
Yeah, I think season 3 is the best season.
Okay.
I think Rain is a really good villain. An actual Supergirl from the comics villain.
That's an excellent point. Using Supergirl villains instead of, I don't know,
Luthor. Have a lot. Yeah, she doesn't have a lot of villains. So, like, I get why they couldn't always use them. And they generally pulled, like, B or C list Superman villains as people that she could face off with. But then, yeah, Lex Luthor and Lex, they stuck with Lex for way too long. I think he worked for season 4 and he worked as a foil for Lena, but he was in there for a lot longer than he should have been. I think because of the CBS side of things, I wonder if they were going to do more with Max Lord than they ended up doing, because he left when they switched from CBS to CW, when they moved from LA to Vancouver. Same with Calista Flockhart as Cat Grant. But I think season 3 is the best. I think it really hits its stride. It's like, it's a really even, well-plotted season. The villain is really good. They do similar things to the Doomsday, because Rain is basically Doomsday.
Davis Bloom. Yeah, the Davis
yeah
Bloom
they do similar things to the Davis Bloom arc in season 8 of Smallville, but I think they do it better.
Better?
Well,
than
it's not
Smallville?
Hard to be that much better than the Davis Bloom arc. Let's
yeah,
be
I mean,
fair.
If we're talking the second half of the season, that's a low yeah. bar. So yeah, I
yeah,
follow
we're
you.
Talking like when she finds out that she is Rain, like okay. that, like the same way like when Davis finds out that he is Doomsday, like. That shift is so much better, so much okay. more well done. There's a lot more effort to fix what's wrong with her than there really is with Davis. But they do the same thing where they have to separate her from Rain with Black Kryptonite, basically.
hey, to be fair though, as I understand it, Black Kryptonite came from a Supergirl comic book first.
I didn't know that, but that's interesting.
Unless I'm wrong. But just somebody tell me.
This happened unless it didn't.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But I do think season 3 for me is my favorite season. It's very good. Okay. And I actually really like season 4. which is the, you've seen most of that, I imagine.
I've seen a lot of four with the Red Daughter and all that stuff.
Yeah, so I don't love the Red Daughter arc, and it's not Red Son. I don't love that arc.
It is not at all Red Son. That is so missing.
They took the idea of Red Son, and they obviously they made it Red Daughter, but they took that concept. They didn't go Elseworlds with it. Like, it's not a totally different universe. It's not a totally different history. That's the only Supergirl and also Communist Wonder Woman. They did something different with it, which I don't think was bad, but I think it wasn't the best part of the season, even though it was a good chunk. I think the Agent Liberty stuff was really interesting.
Speaking of Davis Bloom from Smallville.
Yeah, speaking of Davis Bloom, I think that stuff was also really well done. And it was, even though the show has a history of like being really, really on the nose and a little too earnest almost with its messaging, I still really liked the messaging of, you know, it was, you know, mid-President Trump. So they were trying to do something about division and racism and xenophobia. And I think that they made a really interesting story with that character and showing how a guy who wasn't evil became this awful, you know, modern day fascist and Fox News commentator without making him Desaad like Smallville does.
That's right. No, that was Gordon Godfrey.
Oh, wait. Yeah, no, you're right. Sorry. Desaad was the club owner.
Desaad was the club owner. So much better. Hey, you remember when Davis Bloom was going to be a bartender? That was the rumor. Doomtender was what the internet called him for.
I definitely did not know that.
That was the buzz before. Shout out to Krypton Site. Krypton Site still exists. But on the spoilers page, they're like, yes, Davis Bloom is going to be a bartender at the Ace of Clubs. And that's kind of why they have that set. And at some point, they decided to make him an ENT, which I think is a more interesting parallel with Doomsday than his other identity is saves lives, right? So that was it. I like Davis Bloom, again, the first half of season.
Yeah, I do too. I think Davis is a good character. I think the story they were going for was perfectly fine. I just think that the resolution was iffy.
Yes, it is. But so this okay. Now that the show's over and I will definitely, I have them all on Blu-ray. Like every time a season comes out, you know, Best Buy has its like 25% off the first day. I'm like, I go buy it on Blu-ray. So I want to have the Arrowverse in its entirety in my collection because I'm a physical media guy. So I have them all on my shelf. So I am going to revisit these. So that's interesting. I'm looking forward to kind of seeing what I missed as the shows wind down. You know, Arrow's over, Black Lightning's over, Supergirl's over, so.
Flash might be maybe after this season.
Oh my goodness, the Flash. From what I've seen from the Flash, I have no regrets about
stopping that one.
Probably I didn't watch watching it.
I didn't watch last season, but I am interested in the 5-part thing that's coming up next
week.
Yes,
it's on my DVR to record. So
yeah.
Well, they're bringing back Black Lightning, they bring back Ray Palmer, you know.
They're bringing back Mia.
So we'll see what they do. You know, at this point, but you know, Supergirl, the series finale.
The series finale.
So I turned this on, and maybe I was thinking in Smallville terms. I was expecting like some, I don't know, 5-minute recap of the show up to this point, but it really wasn't. I'm just like last week on Supergirl, or you know, the season so far. But I'm like, I still don't even recognize half these characters in this previously on. And then they just throw you in, and I'm like, oh, well, here we go. And it is, yeah, I mean, first of all, there's a lot of new characters, and...
New for you.
New for me. If you haven't seen it, it's new to you. Yeah, so it's like, there's like 15 characters on the show, and about 10 of them, I'm like, who are you?
So, until the end, when everyone from season one comes back.
I'm like, oh, yes, the wedding! Thank you, so...
Yes, so there are, if you haven't been watching the show, there are a bunch of new or new to you characters, because like Kelly Olsen, the new Guardian, you know, you got Neonol. I don't know if you experience a lot of Dreamer.
So I guess I should say, like, being in the fandom, right?
Yeah.
And doing a Superman podcast, being online, like, I have seen these, like, hey, Jimmy Olsen's sister is here. I'm aware of their existence, but seeing them interact on this show that I used to watch is a very strange feeling, I guess, so.
Yeah. You know, Brainiac 5, who I love.
Who's great.
So
who's
great
now.
Yes. Last season, he removed his personality inhibitors and became fully Brainiac 5, so that he is green now.
Wasn't he blue for a while?
He was blue until he removed his personality inhibitors, and then he turned green. But he normally wears like an image inducer that lets him look human, so that Jesse yes. Rath doesn't have to go through costuming like all day, every day.
Of course. But
he wasn't wearing them for a while in this season because they had an embedded reporter with them. Because they always have one embedded reporter.
Of course. I also found it interesting that they're... Because, okay, I know that exterior sets and interior sets are not the same thing, right? But I'm like, you know, this room they're in looks a lot like the Watchtower on Smallville, like the set. And then they cut outside and like, it is the Watchtower.
Yes, that was intentional. There's no way that's not intentional. Because the Watchtower itself was also a little bit based on the Clock Tower from Birds of Prey.
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, those things are all sort of feeding off of each other as design ideas. But yes, I do believe that was an intentional callback to Smallville, because they've made other callbacks to Smallville.
Mm-hmm. And then the daughter,
Esme.
Where did she come from?
So she's new as of a few episodes previous.
Okay.
Not because of any weird Barry Allen Flashpoint stuff, because...
Okay. I was wondering, it's like, is this an alternate timeline thing, or is this adoptive daughter? Like, where did she come from?
Yeah. Adopted daughter.
Okay.
So this season, Kelly started working as in social services, and she was specifically a social services caseworker for alien orphans. And Esme was one of the girls for whom she was the caseworker, and she had gotten... essentially sent back by her foster family for having powers that scared people. And so Kelly and Alex decided to adopt her themselves. That's really it. That's all of Esme. She's awesome.
Okay.
She was kidnapped at the beginning of this episode because she became the love totem after they accidentally destroyed it.
Yeah. And for anyone who's seen Beauty and the Beast knows that when the roses fall off her tattoo, and I'm like, okay, nice. Like, so yeah, they started throwing around the word totem. I was like, no, is this Arrow season 4 again? Like, I'm not...
or Legends of Tomorrow season 3.
See, I didn't get that far either. Although I also have that on Blu-ray.
You really need to, because Legends of Tomorrow gets better every season.
That's what everybody tells... Like, you know what? I respect that they just know what they are now and just go for it. I mean, I watched season 1, and like everybody else, I was like, I don't know. And from what I watched in season 2, I did enjoy it quite a bit. But at that point, I just experienced schedule fatigue where I can't watch 7 shows at once.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, so for me, I fell off of Arrow and Flash and a little bit Black Lightning. And then I guess you fell off different shows. So.
Yeah, that's right. I tried to stay with Flash as long as I could, but it just... So, hey.
Anyway, back to the series finale.
So these characters, a very important character was killed in the last episode. Apparently, we go to his funeral at the end.
Very important is iffy. The fandom has never loved this character, but I mean, he's fine. He was a character that was important to the characters on the show. He's only been there since last season. He was another reporter at Catco. They sort of tried to do like a romance thing with him and Kara last season, and it didn't work out. And they just decided, we're going into the final season, we're not going to do that anymore, which I think was awesome. The best choice they made, in my opinion, for the entire season.
Yeah.
Was not doing a romance angle with Kara. So he was the embedded reporter who had been working with them in the tower.
Okay. I mean, if you watch these episodes, he's like the most important guy. I mean, he's the funeral at the end. I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, he's important. If you watch the show, like, you know him and you care that he dies. And especially in the last few seasons or last few episodes before he's killed, like, he's doing things that at least I agree with. Like, he's the main, like, he's butting heads with the current editor of Catco, who is basically awful this season for relatively inexplicable reasons. So he's trying to advocate for, like, good journalism, and she's trying to advocate for, like, money.
Now, is this the Angel of Vengeance who's in charge of Catco?
She's not an Angel of Vengeance.
Well, like, well, is it the same character from the comics that they used on Smallville as the agents, Angel of Vengeance is on Supergirl right now?
I don't remember.
Like, Akrata?
Yes, it is Akrata. Okay. I never really clocked it as an Angel of Vengeance. But yeah, she has those powers, but like, nobody knows she has those powers.
Okay.
Like, we know as an audience, and then Lena finds out in this episode, but...
Her mask is real weak, by the way. Like,
all their masks are weak.
Dreamer? So it's like, come on.
Dreamer at least has a mask. Brainy has just a different color face and hair. Alex has a hood. I guess the only one who has a halfway decent, yeah, I guess the only person who has a halfway decent ass has a halfway decent mask. The only person who has a halfway decent mask is Guardian, but even that, I'm kind of iffy on the eyelines through a metal helmet. But anywho, so yeah, this character had become, I think they endeared him at least to me a little more, having that conversation constantly and being just a really nice guy. Like, his thing is just that he's a really good guy.
And he had no powers.
He had no powers. No, he was just a journalist.
Which on these shows these days is like a unicorn to not have powers or a secret identity, right?
Yeah, he doesn't have a secret identity. And in this final bit, right before he's killed, the reason that he is murdered is because he is babysitting for Esme in the tower. And Lex and Nyxley show up to get her because she is the love totem. And he dies protecting her. And he also dies because his boss, Andrea, had published Lex's diary, but had done it under his byline. So Lex thought that he'd done it. So it was a little bit revenge for that. So basically, he just dies for no good reason.
I see. Kind of like Henry James Olsen in the season 8 finale of Smallville.
Kinda, yeah. I guess a little bit more of a reason than that, and a little bit more less random than that. Like, he is killed because he is the thing between the bad guys and the thing that they want, and the thing that they want is a 6-year-old girl. So, like, that's nice, and he records the whole thing and sends it to his boss and, you know, all of that, but he does die for not his fault, is kind of the thing.
Gotcha. Now, you mentioned Lex and
Nyxley,
who,
yeah.
Did the show invent this character, or is she from the comics?
I don't know if she's from the comics. I think she's invented, but I do not know the comics that well.
Okay.
I don't think there are other fifth dimensional imps.
Yeah, there's Batmite and Mixis Piddalick.
Yeah.
Mixis Piddalick, do you like the recasting for him? Because I love
that
actor.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's so much better than the original Mixis Piddalick. I hated that one so much.
Yeah, the original one was just like stock CW casting, and then here, yes. and I love Reno 911, and what's his name? I forget. It's like Tom something.
Now that you're asking, I don't know.
But he's fantastic, and I really the things that I've seen, because, you know, I've seen clips and stuff online. The things that I've seen of him, and then also just his presence makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I like that they recast him because they were like, oh, we're gonna actually use him a little more. They used him for the 100th episode. To help Kara figure out how to fix her friendship with Lena. And it was basically a Kara Danvers, this is your life. But I like that when they recast him, they decided, well, this character is supposed to be ridiculous, so let's at least make him a little ridiculous and not have that weird plot line of, like, being in love with her and whatever the hell that was.
Thomas Lennon is his name. Yeah. Okay. Smallville or Supergirl, right? I guess Supergirl did Mixis Piddalick better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because Mixis Piddalick on Smallville is in the Mount Rushmore of worst adaptations for comic characters. That it's Mixis Piddalick, Bizarro, Deathstroke, and I'm sure we could fill in a fourth one, but those are the top three that come to mind,
like,
for me.
I forgot about Deathstroke briefly until you said
John
that,
McCain,
and I was like,
Deathstroke,
oh, right, that
like
is such a bad... Yeah, that's such a bad Deathstroke.
I'm beyond Deathstroke.
Mixis Piddalick on Smallville could have just been someone else. Like, it didn't have to be Mixis Piddalick. There was no reason for it to be that character. They just made it that character for whatever reason. Whereas Mixis Piddalick on Supergirl actually has fifth dimensional powers. And, like, they talk about him being a fifth dimensional imp and the whole, I have to say my name backwards in order to be disappeared or whatever. Like, they do all of the stuff from the comics. They just do it weirdly and in places. But I do think that the updated version of him is better than the previous season 3 version.
He's the one that kind of explains the plot.
Yeah.
Of like, okay, I'm glad they put that in there, because at least I kind of know, all right, I there's crystals around, totems, we've got to collect them. There's a gauntlet. Like, okay, guys, is this, Endgame now?
It doesn't go into a gauntlet. Although it does go into a gauntlet.
It does.
Brainy made wrist things for each of them to wield the power of the totems. But the totems themselves have a gauntlet that you have to go through in order to claim the totem.
Ah, okay.
So, like, the courage totem has a courage gauntlet where you have to face down the time that you lacked true courage. And the hope totem, you have to inspire hope, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of a fetch quest, right?
It's entirely a fetch quest.
Okay.
It was a season of fetch quests.
Okay.
I mean, so the totems this season were, it was a weak season overall. Thereby a bit of a weak season finale, but I do think it was a very good series finale, which I think are two different things and two different goals to accomplish. And this felt very much like a final season where they're sort of trying to demonstrate and exemplify the things for which the show stands. You have these totems that represent the things that Supergirl represents, that the show is trying to always inspire in people: hope, courage, love, destiny, dreams, you know, all these things that were important truth to the show and to its concept. And so it was an interesting idea. I just don't think it was necessarily executed very well. And therefore, I think the series finale falls a little flat. Also, the introduction of Lex Luthor again to the story was stupid.
Yeah, I mean, I felt, because I did watch those episodes, as I said, and I really liked John Cryer's Lex Luthor in the episodes I saw in season 4, and then the crossovers and things. But here, I'm like, he didn't need to be Lex Luthor. Like, he's, like, in love with this imp, but he's using her to get power, and, like, there's a couple things. I'm like, yeah, that's Lex would do that or that. But otherwise, he's just kind of, like, generic villain guy, at least in this finale, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, he is a generic villain guy. He's Lex Luthor in season 4. And he is also Lex Luthor in season 5, but I just would have preferred different things from season 5. I wanted season 5 to be Omek Project, and it wasn't. And I don't know if that was partially because of the pandemic and they just couldn't do the ending they intended. But
yeah,
this time around, like, just dragging him back in for the last few episodes and having him be in love with Nyxalee and then having him, like, return to his baser villainy crap. And then the finale, it's just, it was dumb. We didn't need to keep going back to this character. We could have just let her be the villain. I guess she needed a foil for the whole love token story, but, like,
yeah, maybe.
Because, like, you know, she actually cares about kids and Lex doesn't care about anyone because he's a sociopath and all that. Sure. And I guess they have them fight in the last episode, but I just feel like we could have found another way to tell the story that didn't involve that.
Titans. Is that a term we use on Supergirl now?
No.
Because they're like, two Titans are fighting. Was it the Monsterverse now? I was confused.
I think they just chose that word because it was an easy way to describe two extremely powerful beings who are just punching each other into buildings throughout National City.
Okay.
It's not like a term that is used.
That was the new metahumans or something.
No.
Okay, that's just something they threw out
there.
Not
that I've ever noticed.
Somebody was watching the Monsterverse, so I can say on that, I guess.
Yeah,
but
someone just decided to throw that word in there.
You know, speaking of Lex, though, Lillian Luthor is back. We wrap up her story. Did they ever explain why Brenda Strong is, like, the same age as John Cryer and she's his mom? Was that ever addressed?
No, on the not show? Remotely. Okay. I don't think, anyway. There wasn't any weird thing about, like, I did this thing and I aged 40 years. but
well, he does expose himself to, like, the radiation and all that, but I'm like, wasn't really, they didn't use that to explain anything, you know what I mean? So
I'd have to go back and rewatch, like, the early Lex stuff to see if they mention it at all. I don't think they do. Right. I don't think they do because, like, but I also think that John Cryer's Lex is supposed to be younger than he looks.
Yeah. Because that one flashback we see, he's, like, a few years older than Lena.
Yeah, he's supposed to be, like, you know, older than Lena, old enough to remember her and to, like, know things. So he's maybe 10 years older than Lena.
Mm-hmm.
I think in, like, the concept, maybe not in the flashback.
Right.
But that would still only make him, like, in his 40s, like, early 40s. Because I think Lena's probably the same age as Alex.
Right.
And Alex is the same age as me, so.
When Supergirl moved from CBS to CW and they brought in Lena, who I'm like, okay, this is interesting, right? But then and then they bring in Lillian. I'm like, okay, wait. Like, why are you copying and pasting Smallville into your show? Like, because it's like, oh, we have Lionel over here, Lex over here, Supergirl is Clark, like the friendship, the parents, all, like, I felt like, and I didn't stick with it long enough to see how it all played out, but I just started to feel like, come on, y'all, like, do something not exactly like Smallville. I don't know if that's a fair statement or not. So.
No, I think it's fair. I think that one of the problems with a show like Supergirl and with sort of the concept of female superheroes in general is that, and a friend of mine actually does, like, academic work on the subject, but this issue with making sure that female heroes are fighting female villains all the time, which is very weird. So, like, if you've got Lady Superman, you have to have, like, the girl version of Lex, and you have to have the girl version of Lex's dad, and you have to have the girl version of XYZ, which you don't need. Those things don't have to happen. Sometimes they work, but they don't, it doesn't have to be the case. So like, did we need Rain to be basically, you know, Doomsday, but for girls? No, they did a very good job with her. And they, I love that season, like I said, but I don't, I think that happens a lot. And I think Supergirl, to a degree, especially when introducing characters, had a tendency to be like, say, you know, that really important Superman character, there's a girl version. Or like, he has yes. a sister, because even like Jimmy Olsen has a sister who ends up on the show. I love right. Kelly. But it was also one of those like, oh, okay, so now we're just doing like Lex's sister, Clark's cousin, Jimmy's sister, mm-hmm. You know, Lex's mom instead of his dad. So yeah, that does happen a lot. I'm generally okay with it. Lillian was a very good villain, I thought, and an interesting way for Lena to be pushed and pulled in different directions. And I think they did an excellent job with Lena, and they didn't do the same thing as Smallville.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, look, Tess is Lena on Smallville.
No, I know. I know it's Lutessa Lena Luther.
But you mean, yeah, the Lex Lionel thing is not the Lena Lillian thing. The Lena, which, yeah. Although they took the name Lillian from Smallville, to my knowledge, that's not in any other version. So
didn't they take Lionel from Smallville, too?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, that's yeah. Smallville did it first, y'all.
Yeah, but I think that Supergirl basically just accepts things from Smallville as real.
Right.
Because, like, Chloe exists. Difference.
Yeah, Chloe existed, and they're like, oh, no. We can't talk about Chloe anymore. That was very...
They only have her mentioned very offhandedly in one episode.
That was unfortunate timing, because that was exactly the time
yeah.
when the next team started coming out. But no, that is, and I agree with you, like, that's the kind of stuff I like, where they're like, yeah, these are accepted parts of the Superman mythos, names and locations and all that. Mm-hmm. It's just like copying like the storylines. I'm a little like, but I will say this. I was never sure. No, I was going to do a transition and I fumbled it. So,
okay.
To that point though, something that, you know, I was always looking forward to was finding out the backstory more between Superman and Lex, right? Because Jimmy's like, they were best friends. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, is this Smallville now? Like, literally? Or is it something else? So that's something, when you say that, that's what came to my mind about them accepting Smallville as truth, so to speak. So,
yeah. On the one hand, yeah, I would love to know what really happened there. But on the other, like, I don't care. I do not care about Lex Luthor. I do not care about his relationship with Clark. I think at the time, because that happened very early in season one. Like, that comment happened really early, I'm pretty sure. It might have been when Lena was introduced. But
right.
whenever that comment happened, it was before they were like, oh, so no, Superman's going to, like, be a thing now.
Right.
Because that came much later. Like, obviously, we get Clark in the first couple of episodes of season two, but, you know, he wasn't going to be around all the time. There wasn't going to be time to do his backstory. And obviously, they're not doing that on Superman and Lois. But I just didn't care. And, like, Lex wasn't a character. Lex was wherever the hell Lex was right. at the time. You know, but what they did do with Supergirl is that they took the Smallville relationship, you know, the best friends, which Kara and Lena were, and they basically had Lena make different decisions than Lex. They, like, showed how the two of them were different and how they could make different choices. And I appreciated that. Like, I like that Lena was never a villain. She was a little bit on the outside, and she was a little bit in opposition last season, but she was never a villain. And part of why I think they included Lex in this series finale is to give Lena that final... I am not my brother moment, which I don't necessarily think they needed. They'd done it enough times, in my opinion. But maybe that's just me.
But hey, Lex didn't kill his sister in this series finale, so that's a plus.
That's true. He did not do that. He did not stab her. And then, did you read the comic, the Smallville comics? Because she haunts him after.
Yes, yes. Her AI... as well as in his memories. So that was, and they did a lot of interesting things to kind of keep her around in the season 11 comic books. So, but I like Tess. I mean, the problem with Tess and Smallville was they were never really sure like what her deal was, mm-hmm. you know, up until like the last two thirds of season 10. Where it's like, okay, we know who you are. We know you where you stand now. But 8, they're like, it's replacement Lex. And 9, it's like, her and Oliver have like a thing. And It's like, all right. But I really do like Tess's character. I'm looking forward to getting back into those seasons and the later seasons of the podcast. But Lena, right? Huge deal about there are a lot of shippers, right, for Supergirl and Lena.
Yes.
Thoughts on that?
I will happily talk about this. Okay, so I am not a Supercorp shipper. Hopefully they do not come after me for this nonsense. But I really have never been, but I do get where they're coming from. I think part of the reason why they have so much chemistry, because they do, they have a lot of chemistry, the two characters, two actors, is because Katie McGrath, I think, can flirt with a phone book. She just gotcha. Can. It's just, she has chemistry with literally everyone. They really, really, really wanted Supercorp, which is the pairing of Kara and Lena, to be canon by the end of the season, to be quote-unquote endgame. And it wasn't. But I think the nicest take that I've gotten from people who are shippers is that it at least didn't shut the door on it. So the series doesn't end with Kara having a romantic ending. You know, it ends with her having like a professional and personal ending. So if you ship those two characters, you have fan fiction for the rest of time to give you what happened after. Yeah. And they left that door open and they didn't just sort of shove her with a character that you didn't care about. Or bring Mon-El back from the 31st century to be with her forever.
They really close the book on Mon-El, don't they? He's like, I'm never coming back here in this lifetime. Yeah. Like, oh.
He literally says, I'm never coming back. And that, cool.
I never liked Mon-El. That's another reason I kind of started to fall off watching. I was like, oh.
So I think that was at least really nice. Like, I think if you wanted them to be together and if you thought they were going to be together, you were fooling yourself. Because first of all, that was never the story that they were telling. And they said it over and over and over again. Like, this is just not the story we're telling. We're not putting these characters together. It's not going to happen. And people took that offensively. Also, this show was, as much as it would be great if it did, was never going to end with two major queer couples and a transgender superhero. Just wasn't going to happen. Like, we got the one, and the crux of the ending is a lesbian wedding and a happy ending for your transgender superhero. So you get something. You just don't get everything.
There's so much of this in fandom. I mean, being a Star Trek fan, like, I've learned, like, way back, like, in the 60s, there was, like, Kirk, Spock, shippers, and all this stuff like that. And
Kirk, Spock is the original slash ship.
Yeah. Yeah. And Smallville, right? Clark and Lex, all this. Like, but ultimately, you know, if people talk about today, the thing my mind goes to currently in fandom is, like, you know, Captain America and Bucky or something like that. I'm like, you know what? It's okay to have deep friendships with people of the same sex and not turn those characters into a homosexual couple. Like, that's my thinking of it, but I'm a straight guy, right? So that's my perspective.
The next line out of my mouth was about to be, yeah, but you are a straight man. Okay. So I agree with you. I think that one of the things I love about the Kara and Lena friendship is that it's this really deep friendship that you do have with other women and that we should have more with men. And I do think Legends of Tomorrow does this very well, where they have very deep, loving relationships between the male characters that aren't gay. But I also, at the same time, understand, like, we just don't get it enough. Like, whenever two opposite sex characters have this deep relationship, they almost never stay friends. Like, it's usually, or one of them is gay, you know, if they're staying friends. So it usually just doesn't work the way that you would like it to. So I agree with the idea that, like, if these two characters have a lot of chemistry, even if you haven't initially intended for them to be gay, like, maybe you should just accept that that's something that you should do and carry on and do it. It has happened sometimes. I mean, Arrow did it, not with gay characters, because Arrow, but they did.
Arrow.
I mean, Flash is the worst offender, but Arrow was originally going to have Oliver and Laurel be the main couple, and there was more chemistry between Oliver and Felicity, so they changed the trajectory of the show and made that the main couple. So, like, they have done it before, but I think that, you know, critics are correct in saying that they're more likely to do it with opposite sex couples than they are with same sex couples, because, you know, well, we're more willing to accept that these two women are just friends. Mm-hmm. So I did not ship this relationship, but I wouldn't have been upset if it happened. That's sort of where I land on it. But I do agree that we need really close, loving friendships that we don't necessarily always get. So I'm really of two minds.
No, I got you. And it's just been such a huge part of the conversation about the show. Even me, who's not been following it, I'm like, I know this is out there.
Yes.
So I just wanted to address it in our
recap. And also, in the series finale, one of the last scenes is this really intense conversation between Kara and Lena about, like, accepting the truth of who you are. And there was, like, there was a moment during that conversation where I was like, they're going to do it. they're going to do it. Are they actually going to do it? Like, cool. I did not think they were going to do it. And then, of course, they didn't do it. And I didn't think that they would. But there was a moment where it was like, oh, they almost did. But at the same time, and I said this to a friend of mine, you can also, like, swap out Lena with Alex in that conversation, you know, omitting the parts that are specifically about Lena, and it's the same conversation. So I don't necessarily think that they were queer baiting, which a lot of people are going to accuse them of doing.
Gotcha. Gotcha. You know, it's a nice wedding. Helen Slater's there, right?
It is.
As a mom that, again, better in that. I like part two more than part one. It's actually not even, it's called The Final Gauntlet, or The Last Gauntlet is part one. Uh-huh. And the second part is called Kara.
Kara, yeah.
Kara, as we call her on Earth Prime, which I think this is now, right?
This is Earth Prime now.
Okay.
It was originally Earth 38. Originally Earth 38.
That's right.
The wedding episode is the actual series finale. Because they did it as one night in a two-part series finale, they do have the final, the end of the battle in this last episode, the second episode. The first episode ends after they fly away with the bits of the Allstone. So you have your big battle on the collapse bridge at the end of the first episode, and then you switch to the second episode where they actually, like, do the final confrontation. And then most of the episode, like, literally two-thirds or more of the episode is just spent at the wedding. And this is why I think this is a good series finale and not a great season finale, because the season is very weak and they don't wrap it up great. Like, the end of the final battle is Lex opens a portal to the Phantom Zone and lets Phantoms in to take everybody to the Phantom Zone or whatever the hell. And the Phantoms feed on fear, and hubris is, you know, a mask for fear, etc. Is the whole thing.
That's fear. They gave him the Joss Whedon Justice League ending for Steppenwolf.
Basically. And so then Nyxley and Lex get carted off to the Phantom Zone, which was, like, a really anticlimactic ending.
Yeah.
But it also ended the battle really quickly and then let us get into, let's wrap up the stories of these characters, which is what you're really here for.
Yeah.
So I love the wedding. I think the wedding is great. I love the idea that we spent two-thirds of the final episode of a six-season show about Supergirl on a lesbian wedding, but I might be biased. But yeah, I love the wedding. I like bringing back all these characters. You know, Jimmy being the worst time... Not Jimmy. Wynn being the worst time traveler of all time. Just telling people willy-nilly.
About the future. Hey, McGann, right? Hey, yeah. Martian Manhunter's gonna have a son. Get her in there, right? We're gonna get her back for the finale, so we're gonna name drop her, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, bringing back all these season one characters, bringing back Cat Grant to a degree, you know, doing all this stuff to wrap up these stories and to give people happy endings, but in really different ways. Like, showing that for Alex and Kara, both of them, their happy ending is to have the things they never thought they could. So Alex never thought that she could have a wife and a kid. And now she has a wife and a kid. and Kara never thought that she could be both Supergirl and Kara Danvers. And now she is, you know, able to do both, to be a journalist and a superhero. So, like, they gave them their happy endings in their own way. And they also said, F the future. Brainy specifically said F the future.
Maybe he's a worse time traveler than Wynn after all.
Yeah, maybe.
We got to see Jeremy Jordan and Melissa Benoist sing at the wedding.
Yeah, we got to see them sing for one last time, singing Pat Benatar's We Belong, which is also great. I loved that so much. Their voices are beautiful together. And I like taking the opportunity to be like, hey, we have these two Broadway performers.
Right.
Let's make them sing one more time.
But yeah, no, I love being the season one guy that I am. I'm like, I love, like, him, Jimmy and Kara and Wynn all sitting at the table talking. Remember we had that room and we had to do this and that? Like, that felt very organic. Like, I feel like that's a conversation that people would have like that instead of, sometimes that stuff is forced. Like, do you remember Wynn? Oh, yes, I do. As you know, like that actually just felt like people reminiscing about the past. And those, I'm glad they took the time to do that. Like, I don't know. Did everybody leave the show on good terms? Like, I don't even know. But
as far as I know, Yeah, as far as I know, everyone basically left the show on good terms. I don't think anybody left on bad terms necessarily. Like, other characters left. But I think the only... There are some characters that they didn't bring back. Like, they didn't bring back Sam, who was the human version of Rain. And they didn't bring back McGon, obviously. Characters they could have brought back. But
they didn't bring back Lucy Lane, but we'll see her on Superman and Lois next season.
Yes, we will be seeing. Well, but it also makes sense not to bring back Lucy because there really wasn't a reason to bring her back.
Not at all. No, not at all.
I mean, it would have been like, hey, I'm going to go to the wedding of these people that I was not friends with, where my brother, oh, sorry, where my ex is going to be for reasons, because it's the wedding of my ex's sister.
Yeah, that's a wedding to skip right there. That's a wedding. If you got invited, like, oh, sorry, RSVP now.
Other than McGon, the characters they didn't bring back made sense. Like, they didn't bring back Maggie, because obviously you're not going to go to your ex-fiance's wedding.
Yes. But- no, I guess, again, maybe not bad terms, but they wanted her to stay, and she was like, no, I'm not going to stay. And they're like, well, yeah, we just spent years setting up your relationship.
Only one.
But, okay, that's true. Only one. Only one.
So they, like, yeah, like, her leaving wasn't planned. But, like, neither necessarily was Jeremy Jordan leaving. Like, he decided mm-hmm. to leave, so they wrote him out of the show.
Yeah.
She decided to leave, so they wrote her out of the show. So it wasn't, like, some weird creative differences, and then they're just never coming back again.
Right.
So I think they brought back everybody, pretty much, except for characters that made no sense to bring back. And they didn't bring back Kara's parents.
Oh.
At all.
Her Kryptonian parents, obviously. Yeah.
Yes, her Erica Kryptonian Durant. Parents. Obviously, her Earth parent was there.
Yeah, Erica Durant and whoever was playing Zor-El these days. I don't know.
Jason Bear.
Okay.
Because he was in the early part of the season. He was stuck in the Phantom Zone. I definitely thought that he was fake at the beginning of the season, and then he just kept being there. And I was like, oh no, he's really there.
Man, you know, and you haven't heard it yet, because it hasn't come out, but Blue, Smallville, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is... Little preview. One of the worst episodes of the entire show, I think. No, really. It's horrible.
I'm like, not disagreeing with you.
It's like on every level, like on like a logistical level, internally for that episode, internally for like the way things work on the Smallville universe, like all the contrivances, we can't have Supergirl around all season. That'd be ridiculous. So she just disappears. Anyway, that's going to be a low score for me. So I will say this. Supergirl, the show, handled Supergirl's parents from Krypton much, 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 much better than Smallville did, because Zor-El is not... They don't even mention Supergirl's Kryptonian mother on Smallville. Like,
Allura,
at all.
Yeah.
Did she die? I don't even know. But Zor-El is obsessed with Lara and all this stuff. I'm like, no. So on every level, I'm like it. So just speaking of Zor-El there, like, thank you, Supergirl, for doing something different and more talking about in line with the comics. Supergirl's much more in line with the comics about her parents, at least from Krypton.
Yes. Yeah, her parents are not bad. They're not, her dad's not creepy. Her dad got himself stuck in the Phantom Zone when Krypton exploded, etc. So he was just stuck there, and she helped him get out, and then he went back to Argo, and you'd never see him again. But, like, he wasn't weird or evil or obsessed or any of that. He was just... sad. Like, it was basically his whole thing. And then, yeah, her mom appears initially as, you know, as a hologram, basically, like Jor-El.
With the first actress.
Yes. And then with Laura Benanti. And then when they recast her for season 3, and they, like, made Argo City appear. They did something a little different. They brought in Erica Durant, did that instead.
Do you like Erica Durant as Allura?
I think she's fine. She's not really on the show enough. And, right. Like, she's perfectly fine as Allura. It's a different Allura, but it's fine.
It's kind of like the Helen Slater on Smallville. It's like the sample size is so small, and
right.
You know, it's fun to see a legacy casting, but, you know.
She couldn't screw it up, is basically the thing. Well, like, there wasn't an opportunity.
That's the story they were telling, but it's like, I always, like, look, I love seeing Erica Durant and all this stuff, right? But it's like, why are you going to recast a dead character? Like, can we, it just seems... Like,
well, because she's not dead anymore.
That's right. That's the answer. She's not dead anymore.
So they recast her, but she's not dead anymore. And I imagine that that the original actress, Laura Benanti, was probably busy doing, like, Broadway stuff.
Yeah, oh, yeah. She was in the NBC version of Sound of Music, right? The live.
Sure, I did not watch it.
Oh yeah. she's also in Law and Order SVU for a while, so she's a well-traveled, hardworking actress. So
yes. So I imagine she was busy as part of the problem, and they were gonna need Allura a lot more in that season. Oh, it was season 4. It was the Agent Liberty storyline. Yeah. I like Erica Durance as Allura, but she isn't really in it that much. I think it would have been interesting if they'd cast her from the beginning and we'd had to see her play both Allura the hologram and Astra the evil aunt, who I think was very good in the first season. For the handful of episodes that she was even there, because then Alex stabs her with that.
Then it becomes Non. Yeah.
And then it becomes Non. Yeah.
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 But I do like season 1.
That was season 1.
No, and no big loss not to bring Maxwell Lord back. He was like, I didn't like the character. I didn't like the actor. I'm glad. And you know what? I really like Dylan Walsh as the new Sam Lane on Superman and Lois. Although I did like, what's his name? He's in so many things. The guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Guy from Transformers.
Yes.
General guy from movies. I thought he was a good Sam Lane, too. I liked him in season 1. So anyway, that's talking about casting parents and recasting. Yeah, so.
And the characters that they brought back in the series finale were the ones that made sense, and they didn't bring back characters that made no sense.
Well, there were no ghost parents. I was waiting for Ghost Dean Cain to show up. And
No, they're not bringing Dean Cain back on the show. They killed him off screen because he sucks now. Like, that was the whole reason.
No, Ghost Dad, I'm glad there's none of that. Speaking of that, right, it's interesting that's like series finale thing you do. Uh-huh. It's like, there's a wedding, like, but you know, but
yes,
it wasn't
it
Supergirl's wedding, it was her sister's wedding, and I'm like, okay, all right, that works well. And I love your point about how, like, they both found happiness in their own way, because everybody's definition of happiness is different, you know.
Yes.
So we can wrap that around and talk about Cat Grant comes back, which is definitely on my list of must-haves.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I think it was on everyone's.
I love Calista Flockhart as Cat Grant in the first season. She's just an integral part. And that was such a big loss when the show moved to lose her.
Yeah, I think it was a loss to lose her. I don't think that I would have enjoyed having her every single episode for 6 years. Mm-hmm. I know I have friends who loved her and would have wanted her to be there forever, every episode for always. I think I can only deal with her in moderation. And I do think that there are storylines you don't get with her there that we do get in the show, although I don't think that we get great storylines, that Catcore storylines at all ever. But I do like Jimmy as the editor. I do like some of the character growth that he had being in that position. Yeah, I was so glad to have her back. I think it was on everyone's list that Cat Grant should come back. I don't think I was like, it must be here, because I had this sort of assumption that she wouldn't be there, but she has come back to other episodes, so I don't know why I made that assumption. Yeah, so I loved having her here. She's only in 3 scenes, technically,
which
like
is
two
more
and a half
than I expected.
Yes,
I expected like her to send a video message and she would look at it on an iPad or something. But the fact, I mean, obviously she was filmed on her own somewhere, like on a beach or on a green screen or something. But the fact that she was in multiple scenes, I was like, oh wow, okay, that's great.
Yeah, and I don't think she could have been filmed on location easily, even if they wanted to, because of all of the cross border, you know. Mm-hmm. Crap.
The reality,
like, that was
the unfortunate realities of the pandemic
of
right
COVID.
Now.
Yeah. So because they shot this months ago.
Yeah.
And you know, the same reason that if you're a Grey's Anatomy fan, that Kylie Lee couldn't be on set for any of her appearances last season on Grey's, she had to do everything from a green screen in Vancouver because of all the travel nonsense and the shooting schedules. So I wonder if she could even have been like physically in the show, and if she would have just crashed Alex and Kelly's wedding to yell at Kara, which she absolutely would have. But
that would have been fun. But then, is it, you know, it's nice to have a wedding go according to plan. You know, I mean,
yes.
You look at The Flash, look at Smallville, like all these horrible things happening. You know, it's like, it's just nothing great. No one burst in, the world didn't end. Like, we resolved all the drama and then had the wedding. So
yes,
that was nice, right?
We didn't try to get married in the middle of the apocalypse, which does happen on Legends of Tomorrow last season. But yeah, so I liked the Cat Grant scenes. I mean, I knew what she was going to do. Like, the second Kara picks up her phone and it's Cat, I'm like, oh, okay, so she bought back Catco and now she's going to tell Kara that she's the editor, which is so stupid. So amazingly stupid. I am glad Kara is happy. And it is definitely the trajectory of the show to make a person who's only been a reporter for a few years the editor-in-chief of one of the major national magazines, because
that's
remember, this
works.
Is a magazine, on the planet. But ridiculous. Absolutely insane.
I don't know what you thought they were going to do with Supergirl. And maybe this is my small of a mind, but I'm like, well, the Arrowverse is still going on. So I need to address, like, where is Supergirl? So Supergirl has a history with the Legion of Superheroes. Mon-El or no, right? I'm just saying, like, in the comic books, whatever. She would just go to the 31st century like Kara did in Smallville, right? And we just take her off the board, and then we can move on with the Arrowverse without being like, where's Supergirl? Where's Supergirl? But now she's gone public, like, I'm Kara Danvers and I'm Supergirl, which, thank goodness, you know, this whole show, I was like, why isn't she a Kent? Why didn't she really? But good thing she's not, because she couldn't just make this decision.
No, this came up in a conversation I was having with someone else, too, where this could only have been something that happened in the last episode of the series. Like, there's no way this is a, you know, we have another season, so at the end of the season, Kara is going to, you know, tell everyone that Kara Danvers is Supergirl. Because there are too many questions that I have, like, after that. So, like, how does this upend her life? Are people just going to be attacking Catco like freaking crazy because Supergirl is in that office all the time and you know it? But then the big one is Kara is Clark Kent's cousin. That's knowledge. People who know Kara know that Clark Kent is her cousin. She's told people that. She told, you know, Cat Grant that Kara is cousins with Clark Kent. She also told Cat Grant and also the world that Supergirl's cousin is Superman.
Well, that's an intrinsic problem of the Supergirl character. Like,
yeah.
Like, they almost had, you're right about that. I was thinking the names was a cover, but you're right. All that had been communicated already.
Cover.
This show had the one loophole because of the different family and the name, but they still blew that. Like, Superman, like, when a girl shows up from Krypton, you can't have her be Superman's cousin and Clark Kent's cousin if you're trying to keep your secret ID. It can't happen that way. So, oh, wow.
Yeah, okay, because if one of you comes out as this superhero person, now both of you are, like, very easily someone is going to deduce, well, obviously that means that Clark Kent is Superman. You could also deduce that by, like, oh, where has Superman made appearances that Clark Kent also is, but no one does.
There's
that.
There's already a mountain of evidence for Clark Kent being Superman, and that just seals the deal, so.
Yeah.
Do you like that as the end for her character, at least her arc on the show?
I think it's fine as an end for her character. Like I said, they extrapolated what the happy ending was for these characters based on what throughout the season or throughout the series they have essentially stated is the thing they don't think they can have. So, like I said, for Alex, that was having a wife and a child, because she, you know, initially when she came out, you know, her story had always been, I never thought that I would be able to be with someone that I actually loved. And then, you know, she calls off her engagement, initially the previous engagement, because they don't both want kids. So she gets that at the end. And then for Kara, over and over and over again, it is that push and pull between the life that she wants to lead as Kara and the life that she wants to lead as Supergirl. And in the middle of this season, toward the end, she quits Catco because she can't do both. And she's failing at doing both by trying to do both. I do think that there is some merit to having a conversation about, like, the fact that you can't have it all. That you have what's important. And for Kara at the time, that was being Supergirl. But at least they sort of try that with this story, where she's allowed to have the things that matter. And if it matters to her to do both, then she has to be honest about why she can't be places and, you know, why certain things happen. Although, I would call into question a lot of the ethics of her previous reporting if I found out that she is Supergirl.
Was indeed Supergirl. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that Cat Grant always knew.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we knew that Cat always knew. Not always, but we knew that she'd known at least since season two, the season two finale, because Kara flies away, or not Kara, Supergirl flies away. Something happens where Kara,
says, so long.
Screws off and she says, so long, Supergirl. Like, yeah. We know that Kat knows that she's Supergirl and never tells her that she knows. I do
like
appreciate
that. She knows
that
she knows. Like, they kind of close the circle on that. Yeah.
Yes.
Because just like Perry White should know Clark Kent is Superman, but, like, just doesn't say anything. Or Commissioner Gordon knows Bruce Wayne is Batman, but doesn't say anything. I mean, maybe more. Well, okay. Commissioner Gordon is kind of its own deal. Batman has more of an identity. He doesn't interact with Bruce Wayne every day. But these newspaper editors who are like your star reporter, like, you should know.
You should know, and you should tell them they can't use their superhero identities as their main sources for stories. Yeah, I think that bosses knowing is interesting. I think it's interesting if J. Jonah Jameson knows that Peter Parker is Spider-Man, you know. Or I think that it's interesting if, like you said, Perry White knows about Superman. What I think is a really interesting one is in the comics, some of the comics, not all of them, Commissioner Gordon doesn't know that his daughter is Batgirl / Oracle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are comics where that happens. There's actually a whole arc from the New 52 where Batgirl kills Commissioner Gordon's son, her own brother. But Gordon doesn't know that that's his daughter, so Batgirl is now the most wanted fugitive in Gotham.
Oh, wow. Now I'm excited. I subscribed to many New 52s, but like it got to a point where I can't subscribe to them all. I did not subscribe to Batgirl, but that's fascinating. James Jr., the serial killer, right? So she kills him. Mm-hmm. Like as an accident? Yes. Or is it like a...
She, as the means to an end. Like that, it was the only ending. And so then Batgirl Wanted is the next arc. And that was all Gail Simone.
And there is, of course, the famous episode of Batman the Animated Series, Over the Edge, where he finds out, and spoilers, it's all a dream. But it was a really good episode. those are interesting dynamics, right? So anyway.
But I do like that. Like, I think it always needed to end in some way similar to that, like where Kara needed to be, she needed to make a choice about what she was going to do. I think a lot of people were worried that she was going to stop being Supergirl.
Mm.
That the choice she was going to make was, like, I want to be Kara for now.
Are you saying she would, like, give up all her powers and, like, live
no,
with
I don't
a
mean she
family
would do,
on a farm? And...
I don't mean that she would do what Clark apparently does after Smallville ends. According
10
to,
years after Smallville ends, 8 years, so whatever.
According to Crisis, what's what Clark apparently did. But I do think a lot of people were worried that was what was going to happen. And the fact that it didn't, I think, was really cool. I do think her being the editor of Kakko is ridiculous, but...
And the door's open for if Melissa wants to do more stuff. I don't the vibe that she would right now, but given time, anybody gets like, yeah, I don't mind putting the cape on again, coming in for a special, like the Flash. Because I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about this. I get the vibe that her and Grant are like friends and like work well together. Yeah. And I think of like the Flash series finale, I could see Supergirl showing up.
Yeah, I could see the Flash series finale. I could see a lot of people coming back. I could see that being kind of like, I mean, the Arrow series finale didn't do that, but it did basically end with Crisis.
Mm.
So, I mean, there were a few episodes of
wrap-up. That brings everybody together. I mean, that's true to life. Yeah. You want to bring a lot of people together that would never be together otherwise. Somebody dies, somebody gets married, right? Supergirl did the wedding, Arrow did the funeral. So
I could definitely see her showing up in the Flash series finale. I don't think that she's going to walk away from the character forever if the opportunity makes sense. But obviously she's not in this Flash Armageddon crossover. Alex is. Mm-hmm. So my guess is that Alex is going to show up and Barry's going to be like, well, where's Kara? And she's going to be like, she's off world. Like they've done for Superman throughout Supergirl.
Yeah, he's off on a peace mission in another galaxy.
She'll be on Argo visiting her parents or exactly. Whatever.
There are lots of reasons for her to be. And which is, there's so many heroes. It's fine, right? It's fine. It's you don't need everyone and everything. To that point, you know, as we kind of wrap up here, Superman didn't show up, which is ironic considering he started on the show. Like this,
he did.
Supergirl is the reason we have Superman and Lois. So, you know, love or hate Supergirl, say what you love about the show. You still watching, not watching it at all, right? You got to respect the fact that we have Superman and Lois from Supergirl.
Yeah, and Clark is friends with Alex.
He smells terrific, by the way.
And he does smell terrific, yes. Which is, it's kind of funny thinking about, because that's a few episodes before she comes out. So just like from a headcanon perspective, it's kind of interesting to me that it's just her not actually being attracted at all to Clark.
But just
trolling her sister to make her uncomfortable.
Right? That was So I don't know, like I it would have felt maybe out of place for him at this point. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm really on the fence about him showing up or not. They didn't even mention him at all. Like you said, he is a friend of Alex. So he's like, there's a reason for him to have showed up.
Yeah, he would absolutely have been invited to the wedding. Like, he and Lois and the boys would have been invited to the wedding. But I think they're trying to do something weird with Superman and Lois. Like, they're basically ignoring Supergirl as well.
100%. Except for Lucy Lane.
Except for Lucy, who's going to be the same.
Which is such a strange callback. They recast Sam Lane. They bring back the original Lucy Lane actress. And I don't know.
Yeah.
They don't mention Supergirl at all with this Kryptonian invasion. So they were pocket Earth or something.
I know they mention Crisis because, like, they've got characters who've come over from other Earths, but they also don't, like, I expected at the beginning of Superman and Lois for them to mention something about how their teenage sons were one baby, like, 2 weeks ago.
Well, they don't. That's a problem with Crisis, right? Because Superman was not one of the Paragons, so he doesn't know the life before. This is the life he's always had, as far as he knows.
He does, though. No,
but
he,
then,
like,
yeah, John Jones went around and, like, here's the memories of what happened, right? But
yeah, allowed multiple timelines to exist in their heads without them getting too confused.
But the tag of Crisis with Superman, Lois is like, you gotta get home, the boys are acting up. He's like, the boys?
Yes.
What? Like, that was so, for the, like, audience, not for the characters, you know?
Yeah, obviously that was for us, not the characters, but I just expected them to lampshade it a little bit. They didn't. It's
been
fine.
A crazy year. We had one baby, now we have two teenagers.
And no time in between.
Well, but the
and we're the same age.
The timeline does make more sense for them to be the age they are and to have teenage sons, because you don't want, because the if you have live action comic book stories, you can't have this whole, like, never ending, like, triangle where she doesn't know he's Clark and Superman and all this stuff, right? Like, no, this was all resolved within a couple of years. They got married, have kids. I like that. I like that. That is hot take. That's my favorite Clark and Lois, like, meeting and relationship evolution. Like, the fact that she, like, loves Clark over Superman, like, that's great stuff. I love that on that show. So.
No, I love all of that stuff on that show. I have nothing against them having teenagers. They are, as you said, basically the right age to have teenagers, as long as they were in their mid-20s. But because, like, as they say in Supergirl, Clark is 12 years older than his cousin, but he does not look it because the actors are the same age because he doesn't age the same way. Yeah, so I'm fine with that. It is. I agree that it's a little weird that Clark doesn't show up to the wedding, but maybe they were just too busy with their teenage sons and all of the drama happening in Smallville that
it's
everyone
fine.
In National City is ignoring.
On Star Trek, Deep Space Nine, Worf, who was a TNG character, went to DS9. Arguably a better character on DS9 than TNG, but that's its own conversation. He got married on that show, and the TNG cast did not show up. So they try, actually, and behind the scenes, they tried, be like, well, we could get some, like, Jonathan Frakes and LeVar Burton, like, working out the studio because they're directors, but we can't get all of them. If we can only get a couple, it's kind of weird, so we'll just leave them all out. So
it makes it
the
more
realities
obvious.
Of television production, you know?
Yes, so. Exactly. So who knows what the reasons were, but yeah, Clark was not at the wedding. But the wedding was beautiful.
And Martian Manhunter was the car they drove off in. I thought that was really cool. I was like, why is the car going right? Oh, it's him.
It's not him. It's his car.
Okay.
It's his car. Because they drive it before.
Why can the car fly?
Because the car is Martian. It's a spaceship. It's not a car.
This isn't a car.
Yeah, okay. So the tower is also Martian technology. The tower is also a spaceship that's cloaked as a tower.
Fascinating.
I thought he'd just turn into
the car and flown off for them.
That would have been weird. Hi, I am driving my surrogate father. Like, no.
Okay, I can see that.
So that's John's car. Kara and Alex borrow it in a previous episode, and Kara and John fly it to Mars in a previous episode.
Interesting. Wait, this is going to be interesting revisiting this show.
You missed so much.
And so, in summary here, like, I watched this and I got to be honest, I didn't really enjoy the first part, mainly because I was like, who are these? What's going on? Like, so plot heavy. And the second part, I did, to your point, like, I appreciate, like, kind of what they were doing with wrapping up the characters slowly. I'm like, okay, I get it. I wonder what someone who watched the first couple years of Smallville, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe watched a few episodes and then tuned in for the series finale. Like, would they think about that, what I thought about this?
I think they would definitely have a who the hell are all these people question, because everyone is different. Like, it's real different.
There are less people and more recognizable sets. I think that's the difference with Smallville in this, for example. So
are there?
You're on the Kent farm. Okay, you're at Luther Mansion, which has been burned to the ground. Lex is back. You know, Clark is there. Obviously, Chloe, the Kent's ghost dad, is there.
Yeah, as ghost dad. Okay, so Chloe, Clark, the Kents. Let's just say Martha Kent, and then obviously ghost dad. Fine, we'll do all four of them. But then you also have Oliver Queen, Lois Lane. Characters didn't exist before.
That's a great one.
I don't know how many other Justice League characters appear in the series finale.
None.
Okay, so no other of them. So maybe it is less
miss
characters.
On that. You know, the attendance of the people at the weddings on each of these, right? Alex's wedding,
iffy.
Far better appearance than Clark's wedding as far as the guests.
She had people who came back from the 31st century.
People came back from the Legion didn't show up for Clark's wedding, right? It's just, they couldn't, and again, the realities of television production.
Yes.
But we always joke about that. I mean, he wasn't even wearing glasses at his wedding. Come on. Who are these people in the pews?
Yeah. And I do like that the, in similar fashion to the Barry Iris wedding, the Clark Lois wedding in Smallville had like the groom side is all superheroes and the bride side is all cops. When in Lois's case, all military, yeah. And everyone has to pretend they're not who they are.
Right.
But yeah, this is a well attended wedding that did not end with Nazis.
There
so
you go.
It was better than basically every other wedding.
Martian Manhunter showed up in Supergirl series finale. Couldn't be found in the Smallville series finale. That is, oh my god, that is the ultimate missed opportunity in this show. Why did Martian Manhunter not turn to Phil Morris? Come on. Like, at least once, he should have turned into Phil Morris.
Oh, yeah. Just in one random episode, he transforms into Phil Morris.
Yeah. Like, oh, I need a disguise.
And pretends to be
Phil
a
Morris
cop or something.
Yeah, he's a detective, whatever. And I met Phil Morris at a convention, and I told him that. And he's like, well, it's not up to us. You know? I was like, that's a good point, you know. But I wish that's a missed opportunity. You have a shape-shifting character. And I like David Harewood as John mm-hmm. Jones in Martian Manhunter. Again, the realities of TV production, he should have been a Martian more, but fine. He had a pretty cool costume at the end, even if he was a human face than a Martian face.
He was Martian faced fairly often for a show with a relatively low CGI budget. Mm-hmm. So, because it
longer
is
than
you
Smallville,
know,
am I right?
Right, yeah. Like, they did make him, instead of just making him with red eyes and that suit, he mm-hmm. transformed into his Martian self
right.
pretty often. There's that part.
Mm hmm. But I see your point about, perhaps Smallville was as different from the beginning to the end of Supergirl.
It was considerably different. It was 10 years of difference. Mm-hmm. And you also wouldn't know who the hell the villains were unless you were a comic book fan.
Right.
So, you know, there's that. You would be wondering where the hell X went.
See, that talk about too many questions for Kara, like, as far as her identity coming out. I have too many questions for Lex Luthor. Like, so what do you remember or not remember? And you're going to run your corporation and become president in a few years? But do you have amnesia? Like, the season it's 11 fine. Comic books talk about it a little bit. But I'm hyped for Smallville, the animated series, if it does happen. So those are questions that we can explore there.
Yes.
Being thrown into this, it was a little overwhelming with all the things that we're talking about. So I'm like, I'm just trying to keep up with all these characters and this fetch quest. And like, you know, I don't know, like the first half, you know, wasn't really for me, but I wasn't plugged into the show. You know, mm-hmm. the second half I did like, you know, for all the callbacks and the recognizable. That's, as fans, that's all we want. Things that we recognize and know from before. So I did appreciate what they were doing in the second half. And to your point, I do think they knew this was the series finale, and they went for it. All right, well, Supergirl, the show, the finale, right? Here it is. So perhaps people can revisit it now, and they have fallen off of it like myself. I mean, it's on streaming services, and I'm glad it exists, you know, for, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, for, and I think back to a time when it was just still thinking about that there was only two or three of these on the air, and like the Flash crossover was so excellent and so like just wholesome, you know, to see that world's finest as opposed to, you know, what we were seeing in the theater at the time with Batman versus Superman and all the mixed opinions about that. So yeah, I have fond memories of the show. I just fell off of it as sometimes we do. So it's over now.
It is over now, and they don't seem to be necessarily replacing it with another superhero show, unless there's something I've forgotten about.
Green Arrow and the Canaries, we could do
it's
that.
Not happening. Like, I would be happy if it did, although I did never watch Arrow past the death of Black Canary. But so I don't really know some of these canaries or any of these mm-hmm. canaries.
You're over here defending Arrow for changing, and like, oh, he buried Felicity's folk, and yet you are the biggest Black Canary fan in the world. So
I am the biggest Black Canary fan in the world, but it wasn't as good chemistry as with Felicity.
Fandom is complicated, y'all. We can have our thoughts and feelings and opinions that are just it's very complicated, right? You can't just blanket this or that. It's just nuance.
Oliver doesn't marry Canary in Smallville either, so
which we can talk about some the next time you're on the podcast.
The next time I'm on the podcast.
Yes, you'll be back talking about Siren, which I am shocked, Trisha, shocked they didn't call it Canary. Right? In a season where almost every episode is named after the guest character of the week in season 7, they were like, call it Siren. So
it's fine. Yes. So it is over. I am really glad that Supergirl exists. I'm glad that it tried. It made big swings. It didn't land all of them, but it tried really hard to have a positive message and to tackle really difficult issues that other Arrowverse shows just never try. Because they don't feel
I would say Black Lightning tries and succeeds. Oh,
Black Lightning absolutely does. But if you notice, the shows that try are the ones that star women and people of color.
All right, Trisha. Well, always a pleasure having you on the show. As I said, you'll be back talking some more Smallville with us. But until then, where can people find you out there online?
You can find me on Twitter. Twitter is my main place. I'm at Trisha Ennis, TRICIAENNIS. Plenty of fun randomness there. And of course, we will be discussing Siren when I return.
All right. As for me, Moron Zach on Twitter, MOOREONZCH. Host a couple other podcasts on the United Federation of Podcasts, Franchise Fatigue and Sasswatch. Check us out over there at UFP Earth on Twitter. And as for the podcast here, always Smallville with 1S on Twitter. Always Hold On to Smallville on Facebook. And you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com. Once again, with 1S. So Supergirl might be over. That does not wrap our coverage of the Supergirl show, because when schedules allow, Craig Byrne from Krypton Site will come back and we will have our Midvale special number 2. It's something we've had on the books for a while. I was so excited to do more Midvale specials. You know, they did a couple of Midvale episodes in the final season. And I thought that I just loved that Midvale episode from season 3, I believe it was. And they brought them back into that time period. And I just thought, man, that would have been so cool if they did like a mini series in Midvale or whatever. But that's the Smallville in me. Right, wanting that. Yes, Craig and I will be back, and not sure exactly when, but we'll be back to do a Midvale special number 2 to talk about those final Midvale episodes. But until next time, y'all, always hold on to Smallville and Supergirl. Always Hold On to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Chris Fuchs, Gavante Chillis, Dallas Hernandez, Darren Kirsch, Joy Deanberg, JJ Hodges, DJ Duena, Nathan Rothatcher, Nathan McKenzie, Jason Skipper, Steve Rogers, Joe Mikindo, Atif Sheik, Molly Ficarella, John Curcio, Mike Franz, Dylan D'Antonio, Thomas Navin, Andrew Parker, James Lee, Jonathan England, Adam Sullins, Joe Michael, Zachary Burkhalter, Mark Itzfoppen, Alex Ramsey, Jason Davis, Patrick Bravo, Patricia Carrillo, Jacob Stevenart, Diana Bias, Corey Moore, Nick Ryan Bagdoza, Eddie Bissell, Jim Thomas, Nicholas Fansler, Catherine Caldwell, Will Hunt, Clunk Kant, Mariana Sachi, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Coso, Erica Flynn, Jared Gibbs, Anthony Anderson, Jasmine Magelli, Keith Falls, Lauren D., James Hart, and Melissa Brown. Thank you so much to all these patrons. And you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with 1S. Hope to see you there.